Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. Welcome to our glorious Goodwood Racing postcast. My name is James Hill. We're going to be looking ahead to day 4 on the Sussex Downs. And joining me in the studio, we have Tom Park. And on the line, Paul Keeley. And Paddy Paz, James Ryan. Right, chaps, let's get stuck into it. The first race, devilishly difficult card. This, the first race is the 150. It's a Fio Fennel Oak Tree Stakes, Group 3 for fillies and mares, 7 furlongs. And it's been won down the years by lots of three-year-olds. And we've got 8 of them representing the age group this time, including the Coronation Stakes third, Jubiloso. James, take us away with some betting.
Yeah, and we've all the offers on offer here. So we're money back all losers if Jubiloso wins, and we're 4 places in the race. And to start things off, Jubiloso is our 6-4 favourite, followed by Royal Intervention 7-1, Angel's Hideaway 7-1, Pretty Baby 10s, Tapisserie 10s, and 11-1 bar.
Tom Park, is Jubiloso a good thing here, do you think?
Look, she's exciting. She looks very short to me. When firms are going 4 places, I'm not convinced she's that far ahead of them yet, so I'm quite happy to take her on. The one I like is Angel's Hideaway. Look, she ran a stormer in the 1,000 Guineas earlier in the season. She ran really well in the Jersey Stakes, so she's proven over this trip. She finished 11.5 behind Hermosa. I think Jubiloso was a length behind Hermosa. She's not got that much to find. Gosden's flying at the moment. I think he's at a 40% strike rate or something, so he is really flying. I just think she's got a good each-way chance in this. She's got a touch of class about her. Look, the favourite could be a good thing, but I'm very happy to take her on in an each-way race like this.
Okay, so Angel's Hideaway to take on the Fav. Keels, what's your opinion in this opener?
Well, I think she's potentially very good, Jubiloso, isn't she? She's only run 3 times in her life. It's a big jump from making your debut in April to running 3rd in the Group 1 at Royal Ascot. So she has the best form, and she's potentially got more improvement than the rest of them in her. Against that, it is a massive field. She's got a fair draw in stall 6. Obviously, you want to be drawn reasonably low. So she's got a proper favourites chance. And when you look at the price, you say, for some firms going 7-4, that's not the worst short price favourite in the world. But you know me, I don't like backing them. I'm going to take a chance with Bilsden Brook. She hasn't really done much to suggest that 1,000 Guineas win last year was anything more than a fluke, but she's got some really good form at Goodwood. Form figures 2-1-1-4. The fourth was in the Nassau last year when she didn't quite stay a mile and two, but she's only beaten 3 lengths. RPR 110, which I think is £1 below what Jubiloso ran to at Ascot. It's just the fact that she likes it here, and she's a 14-1 shot. She's been back in some sort of form this year, winning at Chelmsford. What she needs is a big field and a strongish gallop. I mean, she came from miles off the pace to win a nursery as a 2-year-old here. So the fact that you've got a big field, stall 10 wouldn't be the best draw in the world, but, you know, she's going to come from behind anyway. And if they go hard enough, I think she'll finish in the frame.
Right, so 2 selections there to take on Jubiloso. James, do you see her being beaten as well?
No, I can't really see her being beaten, to be honest. I think the way the race is going to pan out could be really nice for her as well. You know, she's drawn just on the outside of Beyond Reason and Perfection, and there it'll go forward, and I think she'll get a lovely slot in behind them. She was a little keen at Ascot, though. I think, you know, she'd want them to go a good pace that she can settle, and I think if she settles, I think she's the class in this just to be the best in the field. I think she'll be very hard to beat.
Right, next race is the 225. It's the Bonhams Thoroughbred Stakes, another Group 3 over a mile. And potentially another very tricky contest in terms of betting. What is your market, James?
Duke O'Hazard is our 7-2 favourite, followed by Arc de Val 4-1, Momkin 6-1, Old Glory 13-2, Turgenev 13-2, Turgeman 13-2, and 8-1 bar.
And we'll go to you first for your selection.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the favourite here in Duke O'Hazard. He's a bit bigger with other firms. We kind of like him now at the moment. Thought he was extremely explosive at Newmarket last night, beating some of today's rivals. He finished that last 3 furlongs in 33 seconds, which is pretty exceptional. Like, not too many horses can run those 3 furlongs in under 11 seconds. But I think the real key to him is the ground, and it looks like it's going to go good to firm. I saw the clerk at the course saying today that it's pretty much going to go good to firm some point during the day, so it'll be even faster probably by tomorrow. I can see Turgenev and King Ottinger probably being pulled out of the race because of that. I know John Gosden said after the last day, Turgenev, he wouldn't run him again on faster ground. And I think Charlie Fellows is on the record saying that he'd hardly run King Oscar with anything other than soft in it. And, you know, he's beaten Art de Val at the end of last year, beat him fairly snugly in France. So I just think it's kind of all lining up for him here, and he's a good draw. I think he'll just be hard to beat.
Condition is quickening up, the weather improving. Parky, this looks a particularly tricky heat, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does look a pretty tricky heat, you're right. I agree about Chooks of Hazard. He was quite impressive last time. If he runs, and there is a bit of doubt over the ground, I'm willing to give Turdenev another chance. I'll remember his Britannia run. Frankie probably pushed the button a little too early, probably got a little bit excited in the heat of the moment that day. It's a strange one how he ran last time, because, he was running in Derby trials. He just emptied. I'm of the opinion he probably came in a little bit soon after Royal Ascot. These big handicaps, he went really hard from a long way at Royal Ascot. Maybe it just took a lot out of him. He's been freshened up a little bit. I think it's 25 days since the last run. He was really well backed at Newmarket that day. So against a lot of these, and if he does handle the ground, I think 13-2 is a big enough price to give him another chance, really, and just forgive him. I think he's potentially the best of these.
Okay, Kiels, where's your Wad going in this race?
I think it's a messy old race. I mean, Duke Hazard was very impressive at Newmarket. You've got to remember that was first time blinkers. They got to work again. He has one here, but, you know, second time blinkers, it just makes you worry whether he can do it. I mean, his form figures going into it are 3.5, 7.5, so he wasn't the most consistent horse in the world. I sort of half like Art Duval, whose only defeat came to Duke of Hazard in France last year. But, you know, he's drawn stall 11. Not really the place you want to be over a mile on this track. I've got some stats for you for the Golden Mile later to show you that. So I might take a chance on I Could Be Better. I could do better. Unbeaten. It's a big price, 20-odd to 1. Trained by Ian Williams. Only won 3 times in his life, all for Keith Dalgleish. Won all 3 very, very easily. Now, the form is not worth anywhere near as much as what the other horses have shown so far. But on his debut, he did beat King Comedy, who I still think probably is the best miler around, even allowing for what Too Darn Hot did in the Sussex Stakes. So I would, I'd just give him a chance because he looks like he's a very decent horse. Ian Williams runs him here. I don't think he'd bother just wasting a handicap mark of 95 if he didn't think he had a fair chance of picking up a fair pot. Because if he could run 5th and ruin it. You know, so I think I'll give him a shout.
Right, well, if you've felt that punting has been tricky so far, wait until you get to the next race. This is a 3 o'clock, the Unibet Golden Mile Handicap Red Hot Contest, 20 runners. You'll need plenty of luck if you're to strike gold here. James, how do you bet?
Mojito was our 4-1 favourite, followed by Escobar 7-1, Afak 9-1, Beetlebon 10-1, Clonculus 11-1, Dark Vision 12, Gameplayer 12 and 14th bar, and we're also 5 places here as well.
Right, Kiels, work the oracle with this one. Who are your fancies?
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of these things that, you know, I should know better, really, is a punt anti-post on a race like the Golden Mile, because it's the biggest draw handicap in the country. And, of course, the one I settled down on was Dark Vision, trained by Mark Johnston. He won the Vintage Stakes last year. And I thought he had a cracking chance down to a mark of 103. But he's drawn stall 19 of 21. I think that might work out as 18 with the reserve pogo out. But even so, you just cannot win from that draw. Last 20 runnings, there's only been 2 horses win from a double-figure stall. 14 of the last 20 winners came from stalls 1-5. So you really got to be concentrating on low. It can happen. Mark Johnson's La Rave won from stall 15 a few years ago, but you know that was at a massive pace burn-up in front, and they all fell in a hole. So I'd be going for something drawn low, and I can't see why Game Player's a double-figure price, to be honest. Not only does he have the best draw in Trap 1, that's 5 of the last 20 winners came out of Trap 1, but not only does he have the best draw, he was one of the most eye-catching horses that ran in June when he ran in a Class 2 at Ayr and finished 3rd to Club Wexford. That's good form anyway, but he was reined back early in the straight and then came through and then just got cut off. He finished absolutely full of running. Probably should have won. The winner's gone in again. The 6th has won twice since. The 7th has run well. Even the horse that finished last finished 3rd in the international. So the form is rock solid. He's a 12-14-1 shot, 5 places with the best draw. I don't see how you can get away from him. I'd make him a fair bit shorter than that. The other one I'm going to back is Baltic Baron. Yeah, he looked like he might have his own ideas about the game when he was in France, because he finished second five times. He's come over to David O'Meara, run four times, and finished second on three of those. So he's not the most trustworthy, but he does travel really strongly. And the trainer's put a visor on the first time. If that sort of sets his mind on the job, he's from stall six, that comes down to stall five, because I think the reserve was in stall five. So he's in the right place. He's a 20-1 shot. The trainer's had a big handicap winner this week already, and obviously Daniel Tallow's one of the best around now.
Yes, well, as Kiel's highlighted there, the draw very important in this race. James, would you be looking at low numbers as well here?
Yeah, no, very similar to Kiel's here. I kind of narrowed it down to a couple from those kind of law draws, but I ended up coming up with a different one to him. And what's the story? He's a good draw in two, and you know, he's really quick away from the gate, so I think he's going to get a good position on the rail going into that first bend. Like, two of his last three runs were joint career best. His run at Ascot was on soft ground, which he just didn't really perform on. And obviously, he's going to get probably the good firm ground tomorrow. Very credible third in the John Smiths at York on his latest start. The form of that seems to have worked out really well. Fayez, Jazeel and Setting Sail were obviously the first three home in the handicap earlier on in the week. And he's £3 well in here, very similar to Mojito. Mojito's 4-1. What's the story? 16-1. So I think that's just too big on him. I think he could run a really big race.
Okay, and Parky, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm on a similar line to Kielsey. I've drawn my pins on Baltic Baron. He's been a bit of a cliff horse for me. He does seem to finish second a lot. Quick turnaround from York last time. As Kiel's mentioned, first-time visors might do the trick. Just got the feeling that this is a lot better horse than we've seen. Look, Danny Tudhope's jocked up. I think Jamie Spencer's riding Escobar, who's a good bit shorter in the betting. I think Spencer has ridden, to be fair, I think he has ridden Escobar the last couple of starts, and Tudhope's, it's been a few starts since he's ridden him. But given that David O'Mara's come out and said, look, we're all out for Tudhope to win the title this year, I just suspect that Tudhope might have been given the opportunity to ride Escobar if he's so pleased. I think Bart the Baron's got a big chance, good draw. Similar to Kiel's, the one horse that I won't be backing and will probably win now is Dark Vision. He's been another cliff horse. I've backed him at Royal Ascot, ran really well there, ran really well at Newmarket last time, but again,
really well forward of 12 months ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was brilliant in the vintage sets last year. Similar to Kiel's, the draw was a bit of a body blow for him, I think. He might struggle to get there from that draw.
Right, well, next up we've got the star of the show for day four, undoubtedly. That's Batash, one of the fastest horses in the world. And he'll be looking to win the 3:35, the King George Catter Stakes, for the third straight time. James, what's your betting? Can he complete the hat-trick?
He's our 1-3 favourite. El Astronaut is 6-1. Rebecca Rock, 16s. Big Brother's Pride, 16s. And it's 20-1 back.
And do you think it's going to be a stroll in the park for him? I mean, he can blow hot and cold, can't he?
Yeah, I think even if this race was at Ascot or, you know, a track that doesn't suit him, I still think he'd be a fairly similar price in facing this opposition. And then the fact that it's here in Goodwood, where obviously it's that real speed favouring track and it's really 4.5 furlongs in comparison to Ascot's 5, I just can't see any of this opposition getting near him. I think he'd be, you know, he's pretty much a moral in verse.
Okay. Parky, can you look beyond the favourite here? I mean, he is a class act, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to be hard to get him beat today, I think. I'm kind of hoping that he hoses up and the bookies all get a bit excited and cut him further Nunthorpe, because I can't see him winning there. I'm hoping that push Mabs Cross out a few more points so I can get a nice week each way bet on her, because can't see him winning at York. That's definitely not his track. But Goodwood.
It's strange, isn't it? He just doesn't like York, does he?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting what they do, because look, the connections after he ran there last year said, oh, I doubt we'll be coming back here. He has run a lot better this season. He's learned to settle. He's probably a better horse this year than he has been. I think he'll be... I don't think he'll be getting beat. I mean, look, if you're trying to find an each-way angle, I do think Copper Knight is an improving horse. He's much better horse this season, and definitely be leaving this one alone, though, I think. I mean, Batash probably just going to hose up, isn't he?
Yeah, he is an absolute class. Kiel, do you think there's any chance of an upset, or is this going to be fairly straightforward?
You know, I just think his bookies are being really tight-fisted, only going three places. I mean, why not four places in this race, eh?
Yes.
he's a certainty. Look, the only two runs out of his last dozen that he wouldn't win this on are the two he had at York in the Nunthorpe, and well, for whatever reason, he doesn't like that. Obviously, blew his top first year, but last year, wasn't much better. Don't know why that is, because, you know, being a horse that likes a fast track, it should suit him down to the ground. But, you know, some horses just don't act there. I mean, I think the trainer's actually said he might not even bother running in it this year. So, but he loves this place. He's won it by a wide margin for the last 2 years. Soft ground, fast ground, comes all alike to him. So he's going to win. One I think might run well at a price with Frankie Dettori up is Rumble in the Jungle. Won the Malkin very easily last year. And I think he's just a speed horse. He wants to get taken into the race. And he was actually very impressive last year. Wasn't beaten that far. Dropped back to stiff five furlongs at Sandown last time. Obviously, he's got to improve dramatically on that. But I do think he's got ability, and I can see him sneaking into the frame at a price.
Okay, excellent. Right, three more races to go. Before that, though, just to alert you all to the fantastic Free Racing Post app. Don't forget, you can watch all UK and Irish races live on the app. Just place a £1 bet to watch the race live. Right, we'll take a break and see you in a bit.
What's my horse's handicap?
The fact that you're backing him.
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Things don't get any easier. We've got three tough races coming up now. No prices on these races. But James, we've got the next race, which is a Unibet Nursery Handicap at 4.10. Potentially very tricky indeed. What's your selection here?
Yeah, it's a very competitive race here. I've gone for Separate. Thought you ran a really nice race in the Super Sprint, and the form seems to be working out pretty well from that. The fifth in that is one next time out. Mighty Spirit was second yesterday in the Good Billy's conditions race, and Show Me was just behind Liberty Beach in the Malcolm. So it seems to have a good kind of flow to it. She's off 83. I just think she'll run a really solid race. So she's the one that I'm going to go for here.
Okay, Parky, these nurseries are very tough at Goodwood, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I'm quite keen on one here. I like Orny Madden for Martin Mead. I thought there was a lot to like about the way he won last time. It was very cosy, just got up by a short head, I think. But he only got a few cracks of the whip. It was hands and heels to win by that short head in the last few, 100 yards, which is sometimes a good sign. What was interesting was Jason Watson took a long time to pull him up after the line. Suggests there's plenty more to come. He was third to positive the start before, ran really well in the Vintage Stakes. I think he's off a nice opening mark. I think there's plenty more to come from him. He's definitely improving. I think he's probably one of my bet of the day, I think.
Okay, so only Madden for Parky. He's quite sweet on that. Keels, what's your pick?
Yeah, he was on my list until I saw the horse that he beat last time finished tailed off in the maiden here the other day. So that worries me about whether that form's all that strong. There is an actual blot on the handicap if he runs, but the only problem is he's also running at Fosse last tonight. That's Sir Arthur Dane of Mick Shannon's, who absolutely gagged up by about 9 lengths at Leicester the other day. He's £8 well in under a £6 penalty, but like I said, he runs in Fosse last tonight, might pick up another £6 penalty, and therefore won't be so well in. And of course, he might not run. Mark Johnson probably has the head of the market here. Praxeology, who's won his last two, and Eton College, who's done the same. I'd be quite interested in Eton College. He beat a horse that I've backed today called When Comes Here at Brighton, handled the downhill track, found a bit more, and then came out and won a nursery again next time. I think he's quite a solid, tough horse, the sort of Johnson horse that just keeps pulling out a little bit more. So he'd be the one for me at the moment.
Well, this is a card where we've got as many as four group races taking place, and the final one is at 4:40. It's Lomerain Queen's Plate Glorious Stakes. Mile and a half contest for older horses. Just the five runners here, but potentially tricky heat nonetheless. Keels, Mirage Dancer. He's a proven class horse in this race. He's been beaten the last twice, though. Do you think he could be beaten again?
Not really, no. I mean, it's funny. I don't particularly trust Mirage Dancer at all. I don't think he always puts it all in, but he seems to like this place. He's run here three times. He won very easily three times, including this race last year. He's the highest rated horse in the race. He's the best horse in the race overall, and I think he's going to be very hard to beat. It isn't the best, you know, for a 100 grand race, you've got five runners. One of them, Aquarium's got no chance. And he's finished ahead of Baghdad and Desert Encounter, and Prince Aaron wants further. So it's all there. I'd be surprised if he doesn't actually win this with a bit to spare.
Okay, as Keels mentioned, they're all a fairly exposed bunch here. James, what's your pick in this race?
Yeah, I can't really see too far past Mirage Dancer. Even on that last run, he seems to have Baghdad and Desert Encounter covered. and the other two, Aquarium, has kind of been my cliff horse in the handicaps this year, but obviously he doesn't have much of a chance here, and Prince of Arran needs further, so it'll be very hard to see him getting involved. I think Mirage Dancer looks fairly solid, and I'd say it'll be very hard to beat.
Parky Mirage Dancer getting back to winning ways, or something to take him on with?
Yeah, I think he kind of wins by default. As Kiel said, he's not the most trustworthy, I don't think, but look, he's beaten Baghdad and Desert Encounter pretty comfortably last time. Prince of Arran's got bigger fish to fry, I think, in the Melbourne Cup, so it'll be a stepping stone for that. Mirage Dancer just wins this, I think.
And the final race to take us into the weekend is the 5:15. That's a TDN Australia handicap, 14 runners, so just the three places to make things that a little bit more testing in terms of punting. Parky, any hope you'll find the winner here?
Well, I hope I find the winner. I've gone for Deal a Dollar with Sir Michael Stout. He won this year, race a few years back with Poet's Word. Obviously turned out to be quite good. Look, he was turned over at Newcastle last time at 1-2-8, I think he was, which is rarely seen. But he was behind Telecaster at Windsor the time before, admittedly a long way. But he was second in that race at Windsor. He's had a good break since that Newcastle run. There was clearly something not right there. He's got first-time tongue tie on. Sir Michael Stout kind of targets these kind of races. I mean, the fact that he's not run for a while suggests that they've probably been keeping for it. First-time handicap, I think he's got a good chance.
Okay, and James, what's your selection?
I've gone for a High Commissioner here. He's been running some pretty decent maidens. Like last year, he ran in that Good Birthday maiden, which worked out really well. This year, he was two lengths behind Logician, who is now rated 101. And his first start post the gelding operation, he was a length away behind Away He Goes, who looks a fairly exciting type off 95. So this mark of 100 of 85 in his first handicap, I don't think it's too harsh, and he has a bit of scope for improvement there. They thought this horse was really rated this horse at the start of the year. Like they added him to the Derby at the second entry stage at the end of April. So, obviously they thought he was definitely a 100-plus horse. He's a half to Universal, who obviously got better and better with racing. So I'm just kind of hoping that High Commissioner could be in the same boat as him and could be a good bit better than his mark of 85, Paul Cole.
Okay, so High Commissioner for James. Keels?
I mean, for me, this is all about Actow for Roger Varian. I think he could be really, really well handicapped. He ran in a couple of novices this season in May when last seen, was fourth to Pondus and then second to Pondus. Didn't really give him much of a race. He was beaten five lengths last time. But you have to put that into the context of the fact that Pondus is now rated 105, having run to 100, an RPR of 111 the other day. He's, Actow comes in here off a mark of 84. All he's done in those three races over a mile and two is stay on for the places, and he's got an extra furlong to go this time. I'm sure he will have improved since then. I don't know why he's had a break for a couple of months, but it's not a bad race to come back in, and I think a mark of 84 well underestimates his ability.
Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you all. Let's have the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Keels, take us away.
Yeah, we'll go for Glory in the Golden Mile, 3 o'clock, number one game player.
Parky, what's your best bet?
In the 4:10, I like Orny Madden for Martin Mead.
And James?
Duke of Hazard in the 2:25.
Excellent. Well, that's pretty conclusive. It's going to be pretty tough punting, but let's hope we can all find some winners. Best of luck to you all, guys. Thanks very much again. That's it for today. You've heard what our panel's tips are, but let us know what you think. Visit our YouTube channel to offer your thoughts on today's tips. Just search Racing Post for more info. Bruce will be back on Friday to look ahead to Saturday's racing, the final day of Glorious Goodwood, featuring the Stewards Cup. And of course, don't forget, Galway is continuing. You can watch our Galway Festival podcast as they run on. But from all of us here, thank you very much for listening, and best of luck with your punting as well. And we'll see you soon.